This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Richard, you're a national hero now.
Thank you, sir. But I was just doing my job.
You always look at the guy who found the bomb just like you always look at the guy who found the body.
Jewel fits the profile of the lone bomber. A frustrated white man who is a police wannabe who seeks to become a hero.
We're running it.
You're a suspect.
You don't talk.
I talk. Say it.
I don't talk.
This might be the only way to clear your name. I want you to say there's a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me, of course, Arvind Yuvaraj and Julian Yap. And today, as you might have surmised, we are actually going to be talking about Richard Jewell. Right off the bat, I'm going to say that I did not actually make it to this film. I was away that the day that we had the screening, and I'm sure you guys will let me know whether or not I was correct to then not be compelled to go to the cinema. So let's start, I guess, with what the story is.
So Richard Jewell is about, obviously Richard Jewell, who works as a security guard at during the 1996 Olympics.
In Atlanta, in America.
And what happens is he finds a backpack that has an explosive device in the park during a festival or one of those like concert things. He successfully evacuates most of the people. And then the FBI says that he's the prime suspect in the bombing. And then he has to go through all, you know, jump through hoops and stuff to either prove that he is innocent or the FBI finds out that he's guilty. And that's basically the premise of the story.
That's it. That's pretty much it. I don't. And there's a thing in this film where they can't just say Richard. It's always Richard Jewell, Richard Jewell. And you almost forget what film am I watching? And someone will tell you were watching Richard Jewell. And it's got kind of exactly what it says on the tin. It's exactly what a biopic or not necessarily a biopic. It's not, you're not celebrating a specific event, but you're kind of just telling the story of this event. Mm-hmm. And you follow this guy, Richard Jewell, who feels very, very down on his luck. It doesn't feel like the world isn't really against him, but isn't really with him. And you've got Sam Rockwell, who is his fast-talking lawyer guy, and then John Hamm, for some reason, as the FBI agent. It's a weird mix of people that I don't think necessarily works a lot of the time.
So you loved it.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's really top of the list, but like I don't know. Maybe you should share why you like it more first.
I liked it specifically because within the context of the movie, I could sort of get invested in Richard Jewell's character. I kind of liked him. I thought Paul Walter Hauser plays him off as like very adorable, very innocent, very naive. I didn't know about Richard Jewell, so I don't know who he is in real life. I don't know if that's what he's actually like or if he's, you know, he has that sort of bubbliness and that innocence about him, like the actual person. But the character that Paul plays in the movie has that, he comes off slightly as like a cartoon character in a way that he doesn't seem to know how the world actually works. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes him so, I won't say accessible, but it's easy for you to sympathize with him and all his problems. And all the other people are fine. Like John Hamm does John Hamm stuff.
He does.
Olivia Wilde is there to put in somewhat of a powerful performance, and then it's like cut halfway through and you don't know why she's there anymore. But Sam Rockwell like stood out of the whole cast. Like he is like the best one in this movie, as he is for most other movies that he's in. He puts in like this very funny and very engaging, energetic performance as Richard Jewell's lawyer. So he's the one I enjoyed the most in this.
But the person who was nominated was Kathy Bates. Neither of you have really mentioned her yet. Who's Kathy Bates in this?
She is Richard Jewell's mom. Her name is Bobby. I think Kathy Bates, it's kind of expected when she goes in, when you see her in a film like this, she goes in, she does exactly the kind of thing you expect her to do. She's the Southern mom, you know. She dotes on her kid. She really, really loves her kid. She'll make whatever sandwiches he wants, and she'll go in front of the press and like cry because please don't do this to my son. And it is an incredibly powerful performance, but it's nothing. I don't think we've ever seen Kathy Bates. You know, it's not new from her.
It's not new for her. I think that's like the biggest thing, because when you hear of Kathy Bates and she's like a good actor, you expect a performance that is way more powerful than what she gives in this movie. So after watching it and then you think about the nomination that she got, you're like, maybe she didn't have to be in that bracket, because it's okay. It serves the plot and the purpose, but she doesn't stand out. If anyone stands out in this movie, it is either Paul Walter Hauser as Richard Jewell or Sam Rockwell as the lawyer. I keep forgetting what the lawyer's name is, though. I keep calling him the lawyer.
It really doesn't matter. Watson, it's Sam Rockwell.
Watson. Let's call him Watson.
Yeah, sure.
So I guess for me, when I first heard of the existence of Richard Jewell, it brought to mind, I suppose, the kinds of films that Clint Eastwood has been making recently, perhaps that's fair to say, where it's sort of like everyday heroes, you know, based on situations and cases that are pretty freshly in the news. I mean, when we think about something like Sully, or we think about the 4:13 train to Paris, or, you know, that whole thing. It's always based on these real life news stories. And I wonder whether that made a difference in terms of Richard Jewell, because it's based on a real life story, but it's based on one that is a little further away, is more based in sort of Americana, you know, where if you weren't alive or very, very aware of news in America in 1997, then this might be a story that you forget, because I didn't know about that. Did you find that that made it more or less compelling to the international audience, which is what we are, right, fundamentally?
Yeah.
I think for me, because knowing in context that this did happen at the 97 or 98 Olympics, this was pre 2001, 9/11, and it feels like you're watching something that was made then, of how it feels a bit, at times it does feel like it was shot like a documentary. And it feels like they are following these characters around. I think it does heighten it a little bit, because you're just kind of wondering why there is this basically... not a wild goose chase. It's like a very targeted attack on this one man, which is the point. You're trying to sympathize with this character, and you're trying to see how him and his family are trying to go through it, and how the media completely goes against him. In the trailer of the film itself, they have this one thing which Sam Rockwell says to the media, and he says, "We have the two strongest forces in the world against this man right now, and that is the FBI and the media." So, and I feel like Clint Eastwood did that on purpose. I think that's why he wanted to look at this story very specifically. This is an old director who's trying to look at the like the climate today, and is like, you can't say anything these days. And he's trying to inject, I guess, old American values into it a little bit, but trying to criticize what is 10 times or 100 times more heightened today with media.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I felt that as well. I think when you watch Richard Jewell, you have to sort of switch on the red state Republican area of your head, and you have to understand that that's where Clint Eastwood comes from. Like, he has that sort of mentality. That's his worldview. So you have to watch the movie from that lens, and you cannot watch it from, if you are sort of liberal leaning, and because you have a wider view of what's happening in the world, if you see the movie in that context, then it becomes sort of like, one, pointless, and two, it has a lot of tropes that you might not be able to agree with. Specifically, there's one scene where he shows a journalist who sort of sleeps her way into some information.
Yeah.
And that got a lot of controversy, because people came back and said that that's not what happened. You have no proof that it happened. And he backed it up by saying that she visited this bar where her boyfriend worked, and the boyfriend was a cop. So he took creative licenses and he made the story that way, which, again, it's like you can't take those creative licenses if it's a true story.
And yeah. a real you know, person.
And a real person.
Yeah. Oh, who's just passed away, actually. So
yeah, which makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of filmmaker he is. There are portions of the film that are so accurate, and there are other portions of the film where he just wants to tell a good, you know, typical Hollywood story that's very pro-Americana and very nationalistic. So if you see it in that lens, then you might... if you see it from Clint Eastwood's lens, then you might think the movie is really good. If you see it from a neutral lens, it's fine. But if you see it from a liberal lens, it's got a lot of problems.
So that is Clint Eastwood's latest offering, Richard Jewell. I have to say that I'm kind of... I don't think that this is the kind of movie that I would go watch in the cinema anyway. You know, it doesn't seem... necessarily very cinematic, especially compared with Clint Eastwood's other directorial offerings, which is what we'll be getting to after this. But let us know, did you watch Richard Jewell? Do you enjoy Clint Eastwood either as a performer or as a director? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Barbara Jewell. I am so very drained. I do not think any of you can even begin to imagine what our lives are like. The media has portrayed my son as the person who has committed this crime. They have taken all privacy from us. They have taken all peace. And why? My son is innocent. Mr. President, please clear my son's name.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Julian. Earlier we heard, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch it. So we heard Arvin and Julian talk about Richard Jewell, which is, of course, Clint Eastwood's 2019, you know, directed film. And that really brings us, I think, quite neatly to talking about Clint Eastwood as a director. And I chuckled a bit because the man's been around forever. The man has directed loads and loads of films. He, I think, is one of the very, very few... maybe Ron Howard, very few actors who then made a successful transition into being like both a critical darling and a commercially successful director. And he's been doing it now for a long time. I think, in fact, his filmic output in the latter half, he's probably, there are more films that he's directed than he's acted in. So, yeah, like, what do you guys make of Clint Eastwood, I suppose, as a director? Do you have any particular favorites, any that you particularly do not like?
So even when you said that, you know, he's been around forever, I think you can segment Clint Eastwood into like different decades and the movies that he's made. The stuff that he made early on, like Letters from Iwo Jima and Flags of Our Fathers, and the stuff that he made slightly after that are good. Like, I love Letters from Iwo Jima. I love Flags of Our Fathers. I love how they both inform each other and they play like parallel stories. If you take the stuff that he made recently, like Sully and again, that movie, the 4/13 to Paris, I can never remember the name of that movie. And now Richard Jewell, you can sort of see tropes. Like, he's trying to tell very specific stories with certain people, and they're mostly Americans who are wrongly convicted of something, and the media is after them, and how they're trying to get out of that sort of tussle or try to not be, you know, tangled in that mess. His new stuff is fine, I think. It's not Clint Eastwood-y, it's not special, but it's very watchable if you're like at home and you have nothing else to see.
For me, I think my first introduction to Clint Eastwood was Gran Torino, and it was, I didn't even know that this was this massive actor, and he had this entire career before him, and he was doing this now. But then from Gran Torino going forward, that has been, you know, Invictus, J. Edgar, American Sniper, and Sully, and then now Richard Jewell.
Oh man, I forgot about American Sniper.
That's a
doozy.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
So a lot of these films are ones that I would typically avoid had they not had Clint Eastwood's name attached to them, because you know, something like Bradley Cooper goes into a war zone and he's an American Sniper. That's not necessarily something I really want to watch. But and I feel like watching Richard Jewell, it kind of cements my belief in that, because it makes me think all of these films have very specific, like you said before, Arvin, lenses that that the story is told through. So with Richard Jewell, I thought that it was a bit hateful. You know, like you're trying to look down on certain people because of their social class, or that like that charm, or that approachability of someone is due to their naivete and how they're like dumb. And I don't know how, and a lot of them, you know, we look up at the FBI or at the American government, and I don't know how much I like that in film. And I do enjoy Million Dollar Baby. I did enjoy that when I was a kid, but I didn't know it had Clint Eastwood in it. I knew he was in it. I didn't know he directed it. So I don't know how to separate them, I guess.
So, I mean, listening to us kind of throw out the movies that he's directed, my main thing that when I think about Clint Eastwood, I think about somebody who I think is really interested in exploring specific ideas around masculinity, heroism, and justice. And he does so in a very, very non-superhero-y kind of way, but he imbues, I suppose, everyday, mostly Americans, everyday Americans, with a certain measure of trying to in some ways deconstruct and also rebuild masculinity. You know, he looks at it through a very specific lens. Like, if you look at American Sniper, so that's an interesting film because I find it problematic on several levels, mostly because I think I find the actual real guy kind of problematic. If you've read articles on the guy and you've read how he may or may not have inflated numbers to make himself more impressive, so those things I find difficult to contend with. The movie itself, I found weirdly compelling.
It is.
Yeah, I found it, once I started watching it, I realized I was kind of in it for the long haul. And I find that Clint Eastwood movies, despite the fact that I often do disagree or don't quite, you know, personally gel with what he's trying to put out, I think because he's a good craftsman and because the stories he's trying to tell, he really deep dives and tries to pull them apart. I'm thinking here of one that I did enjoy, like Unforgiven. You know, they are weirdly compelling movies. I don't know how else to describe it.
I think it's the pacing. Clint Eastwood movies are like never slow and they're never boring, even if they're about boring subjects. I think you can always watch a Clint Eastwood movie and never feel like it's slow or it's just dragging on. And he has the ability to do that. I think he knows exactly where to stop his films, exactly how to edit them. And the runtime is never like 2.5 hours or like 3 hours to make it this very serious
drama. It's never self-indulgent.
No, it's never self-indulgent. Yeah. It's just like, I want to get to the point and I will tell you about his story and then I will finish it where it needs to end. That being said, the stuff that he makes, stuff like Sully, stuff like Richard Jewell, these are stories that he could have told in about 45 minutes. Although you enjoy watching, or I enjoyed watching the 1.5 hours or 1 hour 45 minutes or however long, there's a lot in these movies that he sort of, I feel like he expands and makes them seem worse than they are. And I think we can say that now because you compare someone who's being targeted by the media like Richard Jewell in America versus maybe a program like Ava DuVernay's When They See Us. And then all of a sudden you realize that in America, when you have problems, it very much depends on the color of your skin. So, you know, trying to preach to us that Richard Jewell is going through the same kinds of problems like the Central Park Five, if I'm not mistaken, the Central Park Five, is kind of, it's stretching it. And you as the audience, when you're watching it, you're like, so what exactly is the big issue? Like, it's bad, it's terrible that he's being like accused of this. But the horrors that he goes through is very different from the horrors that other people go through in the same space or in the same country. So it's sometimes difficult for you to, you know, go like, yeah, it's bad. Or, you know, it's difficult for you to like shed a tear, I guess.
Which is why I kind of wish that he would move away from doing those sorts of films where there is a focus on the man, capital T, capital M, and you know, their interference into the lives of our heroes. Like, I don't find that particular segment of his filmography all that great. But when I think back to something like Mystic River, for example, where he spends time, this same idea of pacing, where he spends time actually thinking about and trying to pull things apart and, you know, achieving a certain measure of tone. I think I like the tone of Clint Eastwood's films. I like how he lights things. I like how he shoots things. I think there is a real measure of evoking a certain mood and feel. I like those things. I think I don't always like the stories that he's lighting and shooting. Maybe that's the central problem for me.
Because they always look great. You know they're always going to look great. Even from just the poster of, say, just Richard Jewell. Even I can, like, bring up the poster of American Sniper without even thinking of the entire film. Because it always looks very polished. It's someone who knows their craft really, really well. Mm. He gets the best crew because he knows exactly what he wants and, like, the style of it. Gran Torino has stuck with me for so many years because of the story, but also because of how dusty it feels, and he is good at creating that. In Richard Jewell itself, he captures that chaos of, firstly, the chaos of a bomb site, and also later the tension of an interrogation room, and he does that really well. But also, you're right, I think he's not telling the right stories, or he's choosing the stories that maybe necessarily only him and a very specific audience wants to hear. And he might tell them very well, but it's also, why is a very old type of Hollywood and a very old type of audience trying to decide how we speak about race and how we speak about terrorism in a country that necessarily shouldn't, we should, you know, be moving forward?
We should be having bigger conversations, or they should be having bigger conversations, I guess. He's also funny. That's another thing I wanted to put out there. Clint Eastwood has a very witty, very fast sense of humor, which is surprising because you wouldn't expect someone like him, someone who looks that serious, to have to have that kind of, like, wit. But he has that sarcastic, witty, dry sense of humor that's almost British. That's the only way I can explain it. It's almost British.
It's like your grandpa speaking, you know?
In a way.
Well, on that note, we've been talking about Clint Eastwood, not so much as a performer, but as a director. Mm. Do you enjoy the works that he's put out? What are your favourites? You can let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, if you'd like to know what's coming up on our show in the next few weeks, if you want to be around for giveaways and things, you can follow us at BFM Popcorn. You can find us there on Twitter as well as Instagram. And that is it for today on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.